What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. My name is Tom McCaffrey. I'm here with Eric B. Welcome to LE2B. Please rate and review this podcast. Please subscribe and please donate to our Patreon and buy Silk City Hot Sauce. And then we have other sponsors that you'll hear throughout the episode.
Yeah. So
you'll hear ads. We are monetized.
Nice.
Ads. Okay. So, Dahmer. What's up with Dahmer? The question on everyone's mind.
I've been watching some of it. It's referring to the Netflix show that's on Netflix.
I'm really good at introducing things. Our next guest is Dahmer. No, yeah. So the Netflix series Dahmer, I guess by Ryan Murphy, aired, is, you know, been on. I guess it premiered last week, and you said you watched some of it.
Yeah. And I wrote this bit about it this week, and I've been kind of doing this joke in stand up. I think it's funny, actually. It's like, so you watch Dahmer, right? And the guy, Jeffrey Dahmer's a cannibal, right? But the guy playing him is not a cannibal. That's fucking bullshit, right? Again, these guys are taking jobs from the cannibals.
That's true. Yeah. Where's all the cannibal outrage?
Yeah.
Where's Armie Hammer up in arms?
Oh, I got to use that now.
This is bullshit. Everyone knows I'm a cannibal. Yeah, that's true. Everyone gets mad about when you don't use, like, they're like, he's only partially Spanish.
Right.
I guess the guy from...
No, I mean, partially. They'll be like, oh, you can't, because they were mad that James Franco, who I guess was back, was playing Castro in some upcoming movie, which is fucking weird. That seems
off. That is weird. He just doesn't seem like a good pick for... I thought everyone hated him. What's going on? He's back. I don't understand. Everyone, like, I feel like everyone moved on from someone like Michael Jackson. There's a musical on Michael Jackson that everyone loves, and I'm like, I don't understand. Didn't he molest everyone? I thought everyone hated him.
Right, and even in the Michael Jackson musical, there's a black guy playing it, which is bullshit because Michael Jackson was white. And it's, what I'm saying? So you're taking a role from a white person, you know?
Yeah, it's all fucked up. But it's true. Yeah, no one gets mad about that guy. Maybe that guy is a cannibal. But
I did that joke kind of on stage. People like it a little bit. So.
Oh, really? That's good.
Yeah, because I just thought about it the other day. I'm like, everyone gets mad about something. But, like, are we going to really go all in on this whole thing about you have to be exactly what the character is?
Well, what did you think of it so far? Like, what have you... I think it's really good. It's very, like, it's almost trashy, but it's good.
It's Ryan Murphy. Ryan Murphy's stuff is always like that, you know? Because he's done...
But I guess people are... Yeah. What has he done?
No, he does American Horror Story, American Crime Story. He did that OJ thing. Remember the OJ thing?
Yeah, I didn't like that. The one with Cuba Gooding? Mm-hmm. But this one, the one I like about this one is, and it's kind of what people are mad about. They're like, oh my God, it's so, a lot of people are like, it's so graphic and, you know, gross and exploitative. And it's like, well, I mean, it's about a guy who, like, murdered people and had sex with them. I don't, like, what, how are you going to do that tastefully? You know, it's just sort of, it's a horrible story. You can't really.
Yeah. Even funnier that also, like, the LBGQ community got mad because I guess they have like keywords or something, or like categories, and they put that under the like gay.
Oh, really?
And they're like, no, this is not like a pro gay
of our. Yeah, no, it's definitely. But I mean, yeah, he was gay. I mean, there's a lot of things.
Yeah, but he just ate gay people.
Well, he was gay too, and he had sex with the people too, and So one thing I was watching is, like, at the beginning of it, they're like, when they give like the advisory, like, what's in it, this contains sex, violence, and then they're like, and smoking, like, they're like, hey, be careful, this contains smoking. And I'm like, well, I mean, is that really something you should be stressing? It's like, it also features like a guy sawing people's heads off and skull fucking them. So is anyone watching? And they're like, wait a minute, what is this guy smoking?
Yeah, like, oh yeah,
I'm sorry, kids.
He's banging skulls, but is that a Newport? What the fuck?
It's like, Kids, I'm sorry. I didn't know. They didn't tell us at the beginning. They didn't warn us. I thought I didn't know there was smoking. That's really going too far.
They did that on the Beatles doc on the Disney Channel because the Disney, they have like more restrictions. So they put the Beatles doc on there. And at the beginning, they're like, you know, these the Beatles, there'll be scenes with them smoking cigarettes. And I'm like, really? That was the least of what the Beatles did.
Right? That's a thing now. Yeah. Smoking really is thought of as this, you know, it is true. Like, you know, I was watching some older movie and they're smoking in the movie. And it's, yeah. It was just kind of like prevalent. It wasn't, you know, it was just kind of normal that people would be smoking in a movie.
But a lot of that was for a very long time after they banned cigarette ads from TV, they would pay the movie companies. And you see, it would be crazy. Like you would see, especially like Die Hard and stuff. He's like this great fucking whatever, great shape running around. And he's smoking like chain smoking the whole time. You know,
yeah.
He goes, oh, these things are bad for me. And then he like fucking jumps off a building.
Yeah.
Does that not make smoking look really cool, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is like in movies and stuff, it did look cool. I mean, I get it, but it's just sort of like, look, dude, I mean, it's in like the fucking, well, I guess it's in the 80s and early 90s. But I just think it's like warning, smoking before a movie where a guy's, you know, fucking dead people. And yeah. But I, you know, and then, you know, people are kind of like, it's so disturbing to the, you know, the families of the victims, which I get, but it's like, dude, I mean, it's a crazy story. It's tailor made for, right. You know, a sensational story. I mean, yeah, that's got to suck to keep turning it on and the TV and there's a new documentary about somebody eating your son, you know, you're like, oh, great again. Yeah. But what a weird, imagine like, like, well, you know, talking to someone and they're like, what happened to your dad? Oh, he's dead. Oh, how did he die? Oh, he was eaten by Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah. Oh. He was delicious, though. He was delicious. So yeah. You can't feel that bad about it. Well, you know what's so funny? Another story came out this week where the guy who killed Jeffrey Dahmer in prison finally said why he did it. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of reasons I'm sure why they did it, but they said that
smoking.
Yeah.
I didn't like his smoking. It was offensive. Does he have a reason beyond what he ate and killed people?
Well, the funny thing was, it's actually kind of funny. He said that Jeffrey Dahmer would taunt the other prisoners and like he would like at lunch, he would have food and he would make the food into shapes of like body parts to taunt them, which I have to say, if Jeffrey Dahmer really did that, it's kind of funny. I mean, that's a big troll move right there. I mean, you know,
right, right. That's pretty gutsy. Like, yeah, that's pretty rough. I couldn't imagine someone doing that. That's crazy. He said that they would, that he was like agitating people or provoking people. In
that's
jail?
What this guy said. You don't know if it's true or not, but. I know that when that happened, I mean, nobody, you know, was upset about it.
Right. Oh, yeah. It was great.
He went in like general population. So they knew because they hate pedophiles and stuff or whatever.
That's another thing I think is funny about prison. They have like this hierarchy where certain prisoners look down on other prisoners for certain crimes. Like, like they're all high and mighty. They're like, you are disgusting. You raped kids. Everyone I raped and murdered, I made sure they were over 17. You are a monster. You know, it's just like, you're all fucking horrible. I mean, I get it, but it is like, imagine being in jail and you're at the bottom of the fucking jail. Like, people, you're at the lowest end of the spectrum. He must have gotten it. So this is the thing watching it that I, you know, that's really interesting because when it, I mean, you remember when it happened, right? I mean, it was such a crazy thing. I think I was like 19 when it happened. And you know, I remember when I heard about it, I was like, wow, what a, you know, crazy, crazy story that, that this guy murdered all these people. I wonder how was he able to get away with that for so long? And I just had, you know, now that I'm older and I look back and like, and I see, you know, how the police are in the black community and the gay community, I didn't realize that factored into it, that they just, no one cared. Like the cops just didn't care because, you know, it was the black community. So they were just like, whatever, who cares? And it's like some, and he would always kind of use that thing where the cops would show up because the cops kept like almost catching him, and then he would just be like, "Oh yeah," he would scare them away by being like. Like they'd be like, "Well, what is this? Like, this guy said you did this," and he'd be like, "Oh yeah, I'm gay," and they'd be like, "All right, we're out of here." Yeah. Like that was like enough of an explanation to just say to the cops that you're gay. Like, okay, well then I guess it's okay that we found this guy on the street with no pants on.
Well, the thing is also I guess a lot of it'll be pointed out. I didn't see the whole thing about that he had a little white privilege there that he probably got away with more because he was just eating black people and stuff.
Right.
I'm sure that factored into it. However, though, it was all in the neighborhood. All the people that he ate. So he was locally sourcing his food, which I think, you know, you got to give him a compliment on that one, didn't you think?
Well, I mean, yeah, exactly. But like, it is amazing.
That joke didn't land.
Well, I mean, do I not get, is that kind of a way that food is prepared thing?
No,
I think I don't get, like, people go out to.
But they go, "I only eat locally sourced food." But if you're like one of those guys who's a cannibal, like, I don't even know what, so you won't only go to your like next door neighbor's house. Like, what's the rules there? It's got to be locally sourced.
Right.
You know, you can't go to the next county. That's no longer.
Well, it'd be hard to. Well, the thing about it, too, is that it was such a different time because it was right before DNA. And I was saying it was right before DNA became a thing that he really is one of the last serial killers that was around. And he did get away with it for so long because he was targeting people in the black community, the black gay community. So I didn't realize that, you know, young, you're kind of like, oh, you know, everyone's treated equally by the police. They want, like, I'm amazed that, cause you, I mean, it's in the first episode where the one black guy gets away and he's like, has handcuffs on and he's like naked and he flags down the police and then they go and check out what he tells them. And I'm like, looking at that now, I'm like, I'm amazed they did that. That you're they right. didn't just arrest that guy or kill him.
Yeah. And what was the movie where he was watching? I forgot the movie.
Exorcist 3?
Yeah. He's like, I watch it every day. I think that's the bigger crime, actually. What do you think is worse, watching that The Exorcist every day or 20 times a day or eating people?
I think it can't help your mind frame if you're watching The Exorcist 3 every day. Why not The Exorcist? Why not the first one? I feel like that's the good one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, what was Troll 2? It's like watching Troll 2. Like, this guy is not only a cannibal, he's got bad movie taste, which is, you know.
Right. I heard he was watching La Bamba and Baps for a while every day. Do you remember the movie Baps?
I think I do.
It's like with Halle Berry. It's just like this horrible, just looks awful. Ishtar, he was watching that every day.
Wasn't he watching Mannequin 2?
Mannequin 2. Yeah. You know, just an aside note, do you remember the movie Ishtar, right? How that's like the most notorious like box office bomb of all time. It's supposed to be, it's thought of as like the worst movie. Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman. Yeah. Have you ever seen it?
I think once, but I can't, you know, they tried to make it like it was one of those road movies. Do you know about the road movies?
Like the Bob Hope things?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm watching it. I'm like, what? It's supposed to be, it's comedy. And it's like Warren Beatty is like, it's like, oh yeah, this is a big comedy. We need to get Warren Beatty in here. Yeah. So like, it's just like, it's like watching someone who doesn't know how to do comedy try to be funny. But anyway, I was watching it. And what's really amazing, there's a part because they're a really bad singing duo and they do this whole act and they're doing it at the comic strip live.
Oh, that's so
funny.
Isn't
that funny?
Yeah, I think I almost remember that. But there were certain movies like that where these actors would get really big. So they would get to make anything they wanted, right? And what they would do is they wouldn't even have like a script. They would just fuck around the whole time, you know? And they're like, oh, we got chemistry. And I can give three examples of this. And all three of them didn't work. Ishtar was one of them, you know, and then you're dealing with two guys that aren't even really comedians. So that's a kind of a rough one. The other ones were kind of hits because he had all his friends around him. So there was some chemistry, even though the movies were bad, where there's some of those late 70s Burt Reynolds movies or early 80s, like Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
And like
The End.
Yeah. That was an actual script, but like Smokey and the Bandit, I heard that was like all like ad lib the whole fucking movie. That one, I guess, worked. It's not much of a movie.
Yeah, they made, I guess, the Cannonball Run. They made a sequel too,
right? And that one was just them fuck. I was just reading about it recently. It was just them fucking around. He's hanging out with Dom DeLuise, you know. And it's not. It's a horrible movie, but you laugh a little bit.
Is it bad? I've never watched it. I've never like wanted to see it. It always looked so. I never understood what it was. It just looked like they were racing or something.
Yeah, it was kind of like it's a mad, 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 mad world or a rat race. You know, like it was like, you know, movies like that can be kind of funny. It's just that And that was a hit. And then they had a sequel. It wasn't. And then there's a third example of where this an actor, like, they were so big and like, just make your movie. And, you know,
Terminator 2.
No, this is a deep cut right here. Not so deep, but
okay.
It had the same issue. It's a movie called Hudson Hawk.
Yeah, yeah. It was that supposed to be. I remember reading Bruce Willis. That
was a bomb.
That was a notorious big bomb for him. Yeah. That like it was one of those movies. There was a time where a movie would be such a big bomb that like people would get mad at it.
Right.
We talked about this once, how like people would be mad before it came out because it would be like it would get like a lot of bad press that it was so over budget. People would be like, it's so over budget, you know, and then people would get mad. Like, I'm not seeing it. It's really expensive. And it's just like, why do you give a shit if they spend a lot of money on it?
I know. And they did the same thing with Titanic. They thought that was going to be like, they thought it was going to be like Waterworld, which was like a big flop, you know, wasn't even that big of a flop.
Yeah. They did think Titanic was going to, no one remembers, but when that was coming out, it was supposed to come out that summer and they pushed it to Christmas. And that was a big thing where people were like, oh, that shows it's shit because they won't release it. But on the case with
Hudson Hawk, one more thing on that is that people will remember that when Bruce Willis was in Pulp Fiction, it was actually a comeback for him a bit because he was big with Die Hard and stuff, maybe Die Hard 2. And things were cooking for him. And then he made like Hudson Hawk, which is a disaster. Then he was in a movie that was a great book called Bonfire of the Vanities, which was a huge disaster. Yeah. Tom Hanks miscast in that movie.
Oh, right. That was like, so two in a row.
Yeah. So then he was in those Look Who's Talking movies, but it wasn't his face. So when he was in Pulp Fiction, I think that's why he took that role, because he at that point he was not like top.
He had done and then he did The Last Boy Scout, and that was supposed to be like sort of a comeback for him. And I think it kind of made money, but it was also like, yeah, that was also a thing at the time. You know, movie stars, like, you could be ruined by like two or three. If you had two or three bombs, it was like over. Not that that's really different, but Hudson Hawk was like, but you know, Hudson Hawk, people really like that movie now. Like, I remember I went to college after that, you know, bombed, and I knew a lot of film majors and they were like, I love it. It's so good. And then I watched it. It's okay. I mean, it's not like.
Isn't he singing with Danny Aiello at some
singing.
Point?
Singing. There's like, it's just like weird. It seems very like self-indulgent, and he's kind of like, I've heard that about him where, I just remember reading like an interview with James Garner. He did a movie with him and he was like, I hated him because he just makes up shit. He just like would, apparently he's like a nightmare. Like,
yeah, a lot of
it's almost kind of lucky that he, not lucky, but this thing happened to him, because now everyone feels bad for it. No one will say anything bad about him anymore. But apparently, he was like,
yeah, I think Kevin Smith made a movie with him called Cop Out. Was that Bruce Willis? And that was, but he said that he was terrible to work
with. He hated him. Yeah, he like he just said he was a nightmare, and I'm sure he was. He's probably just like an egotistical. But it is amazing he became such a nightmare so fast, because he was one of those out of nowhere, he had done nothing, and then all of a sudden he was on this huge TV show, and then all of a sudden he was a movie star within like 5 years, and then it was like the biggest movie star in the world.
I remember Moonlighting. I liked that show, and I just found out why they don't show it anymore. Did I tell you that?
No, what? Maybe the music.
Yeah, the music. They use so much like fucking music that they can't really. It would just be too expensive to put on it or pay all these royalties.
Yeah, it's weird. And then this is another one. I listened to an interview with Curtis Armstrong, who was on that show. He's Booger from Revenge of the Nerds. He was on that show in the last few years or last couple of years, and he said he was so psyched me out because it was a hit show, and he said Bruce Willis was like, why the hell would you ever want to be on the show? And he was like, oh, well, you know, I don't know. It's like a big show. And he's like, you were in movies. I would never want to, I would never want to do a TV show ever again. This is a nightmare.
Yeah. But that was the way it was back then. People looked down on TV.
I know. I get it. But it's also like, this guy came from nowhere and he's 3 years in on one of the biggest shows of all time. And he's just like, this is shit. You know, it's just kind of like.
But people, I mean, that was TV was so looked down upon then. that, you know, you'd have all these people in your ear, you're a movie star, you're not a TV star. You know, it's, people would make bad decisions like Shelley Long and people like that, where they would leave hit TV shows for no fucking reason, just to probably serve their ego.
They just thought they wanted a film career. That was usually, but
And they would always be like, oh, I can't work and do both. Look, if you were big on a TV show, they would find ways to work. They did that with Michael J. Fox on Back to the Future, you know?
He was like one of the only ones that ever could pull it off at the time. That is amazing looking back. That was like a huge, it was like undoable. Like three people did it, it's interesting is Hudson Hawk came out the same summer that the Jeffrey Dahmer thing happened, mm-hmm. that he got busted.
Oh, so really?
That was a rough summer.
It was this unspeakable tragedy and Jeffrey Dahmer.
I mean, it was such like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. A horrible abomination. And then they caught Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, it was such a big thing. I remember I worked at a hotel that summer and I was like answering phones. And this woman was making a reservation and she was like, yeah. And she had to give her address or something. And she was like, yeah, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She's like, the place where they caught the guy with all the bodies in his refrigerator. And I remember I was like, okay, that's funny. Like, you know, almost like she felt like she had to say something because it was such a big story. But it's kind of, that is kind of disturbing. And then they talk about it in the movie that people live next door to him and, you know, they just said it smelled for the fact that he was able to get away. That's white privilege right there. That he would use his real name. And then there's times where like people got away from him. Do you remember did you see the one? It's really horrifying. It's the most horrifying one where the kid he drugs, this like kid who's like 14, and the kid somehow like makes his way out of the apartment like in his underwear.
No, but I think I've heard that story about it though.
It's crazy. And so these black women find him on the street and he's just basically naked. He's like 14 years old and the cops are there and they're like, I don't know, you know, they call the cops and they're like, I don't know who this guy, he's clearly drugged. And then Jeffrey Dahmer just shows up and again he's like, yeah, no, I'm gay, like that's like his out, like, no, I'm gay, and he's gay, right. And they're just like, all right, I guess you're gay. So like, and the woman's like, but no, how old is this kid? Like the woman,
right,
the
but
black
I think,
woman is the only one that's like, you can't just let this guy take, and they let him that I mean, how much more horrifying do you get that? Imagine being in that situation, right, where you're drugged and you escape and then you can't communicate and you're just, they give you back to the person. Yeah. That's like,
well, I think you made a point. It's like back then, I think the attitude towards gay people it was a weird perversion. So, you know, I guess what they're up to is weird. I just let them do what they got to do. Like, that was kind of that was the attitude in the early 90s. It wasn't like, people didn't at that point think it was criminal or like it was in the 50s. They were just like, let's just let them do what they got to do. Let's stay out of it.
Right. And he like knew because he'd be like, because they showed it a couple times. He's like, well, they're like, well, what is this picture? And what is this? And this guy's handcuffed. Like, I'm gay. Okay. All right. And they just, you can tell they're like, all right, well, I'm out of here. Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand that. But then it's really disturbing because at the end of that episode where they have that happen, first of all, this is another thing. So, early on, he gets caught. He drugs a kid who's like this Asian kid, and he's like taking pay. He molests him, and the kid gets out and leaves.
Yeah,
and the parents file charges, and Jeffrey Dahmer goes to jail for molesting the kid. And this kid that he drugs, that's the brother of that kid.
Oh, wow.
The one that he drugged and then who got away and they gave him back. And when he goes with Jeffrey Dahmer, he knows who Jeffrey Dahmer is. He's like, I'm the brother of that guy. And it's like, what do you, I mean, I'm not like, but what are you doing? Why are you going with the guy that you know drugged and molested your brother? I don't know. It's just kind of like, I guess they didn't have any money and he was offering him money, but that's how brazen you could be. As like a rapist and killer, it's just like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna go do it again in this to the same family.
I mean, I've said this before, like in the 70s or 80s, and pretty much maybe before the internet era, was a kind of a golden age for like serial killers and pedophiles. Not that after that, still, because the internet is a way for them to connect with people, you know. But I think back then, you without all that information being exchanged easily, it was very hard to find people like that. You know, you'd see someone's face on the milk cart and that was about it.
Right. And the fact that, no, it's that's what I was saying, like, Jeffrey Dahmer was like the last one who was like the guy who just completely brazenly, where you could just get away with it. He would just go to jail for molesting someone, get out, and immediately stay in the same neighbor. He would use his real name. He would go to the same bars. Yeah. I mean, it's just, there was just no threat of even being busted ever. The fact that he got caught is insane. Like, it's that I can't believe they caught him. Then, you know, the neighbors are like, yeah. And that, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's really like a horrifying.
Well, I want to watch the rest of it, 'cause so far it's been pretty damn good. And, I don't usually like those Ryan Murphy things. A couple of them have been good, but I don't know.
I don't either. This one, but the one thing I will say that I think is really good about it is usually when they, do these serial killer, like, narrative things, they don't, or some story that's violent, they never really show the actual crimes that they did.
Right.
But this one, he shows you the crimes as they're kind of unfolding. And, like, it's really horrifying because you know where it's going and you see the person falling into the trap. It's like a horror movie, and you're like, oh man, this is, and then you just kind of have to witness them, like, realize what's happening and how, I mean, imagine, like, having that realization. And that's another thing, the whole, because every episode they show him and he's just like at a bar, he's like, hey, can I buy you a drink? And they're like, sure. And then he puts shit in their drink immediately. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my god, like, how did, being a woman, especially back then, like, because I don't think it's as prevalent now, the Rohypnol thing, because I think now they take more precautions. But I mean, being a woman just out in the city drunk, it's like, I didn't realize this now, but it's before, but like, it's so, and like meeting a dude and being like, yeah, I'll go home with you. That's like insane that you would do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I might have said this, but like, I knew the city was back from the pandemic, when, like, last summer I just saw some girl, like, just lying on some stairs outside vomiting and crying and whatever, and she's all alone, she's like completely vulnerable,
right? You know? So, like, we're back.
Yeah. And I drugged her, and
you're like, so but yeah, I mean, I didn't really realize that young, like, when I was, but being a woman, yeah, it's a terrifying prospect. And, you know, when you look at Jeffrey Dahmer, who, like, every single time he'll just meet someone at a bar and, like, they'll be like, hey, can I get you a drink at the bar? And they're like, yeah, because why wouldn't you, just you met someone, you know, that you might be into, they're getting a drink at the bar. And then he puts the thing in your drink and then it's just over. I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, especially
it's that easy.
I'm not painting that community with a broad brush, but it's pretty easy to hook up in that community. The process moves fast because there's no woman to really, people have always made jokes about this. There's no woman to say no. So if a guy is very forward with you, I would imagine, in a gay bar, and you're gay, I feel like, hey, you want to fuck? That's pretty much the pickup line, basically, right? I would imagine.
Right. And that's why it's crazy. I think in that situation, men probably are like, well, why would anyone even be drugging me? Because it's like, I'm already like kind of a sure thing. But I guess it's because it's beyond sex.
Have you ever been, ever been roofied?
No. But I, you know, the girl I'm dating, she told me she was roofied once.
Oh, really?
But like, she didn't know what happened, but she said that she was there with people and she started feeling really sick and she was like, something's wrong. And her friends like took her home, but she was like, it was really scary. 'Cause I was like, the next day I was like, I was definitely roofied. I mean, like, right. That's just terrifying. Like, someone,
No, but sometimes I believe women have been roofies, but I feel like sometimes I feel like they have and they might not have been, you know, like, you'd be with a girl, she's like, yeah, like, I think I was roofied, you know, I weigh 100 pounds and had 9 Long Island iced teas. Right. I couldn't fucking,
Someone must have put a roofie in when on that 12th rum and coke.
Yeah.
But no, I realize it now. I'm like, oh shit, like, meeting a woman at a bar, like, I'm amazed when I would meet women at bars and they would like come home with me. It's like, looking back at it, I'm like, I can't believe you did that. that's insane. I mean, they really do have to like vet you in a, I don't know, but I mean, you know, you've been at bars and
did I ever tell you that story?
See these women, they're just can't, there's like borderline blackout drunk. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
But some women are very like worried about it. Did I ever tell this story? I was at the, it was like the Gaff years ago, and I was talking to this girl who she came to a lot of shows. She's like a friend of the show, you know? And she goes, I was talking to her. She's like, I got to go to the bathroom. She's like, make sure nobody roofies my drink when I leave. And I saw that she had a very little small amount of alcohol. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really think you could roofie that small of amount of alcohol. Like, it's just a little bit of liquid left. And then she's like, well, how would you know that? And then I'm spending the next 5 minutes. No, because I'm just saying, like, why would you put it? Like, I don't even know what a roofie is. But why, right. Why would you put something if it's like just a drop? And yeah. The more I'm talking, the more it sounds like I've roofied several women.
Right.
Because I know about the I just assume you want a full drink when you're roofing.
That sounds like a good icebreaker, like kind of a funny. But so how did you get the roofie in?
Yeah.
No. So, but if you're in a situation like that, just take your drink with you. Like, first of all, did you know her or something? Why is she just asking some dude at the bar? Hey,
friends with her. She wasn't accusing me.
Oh, I see.
And she was just a friend. She said, make sure no one does it.
But why would she?
I'm like,
she knew you.
Yeah, but I was like, I looked at your drink. There's no way someone could roofie that specific drink. I have lots of roofie experience, and that's not.
You should have been like, get over yourself. Like, seriously, so many guys want to roofie me. It's ridiculous. Like, you're not that hot. You're not root. That is like. First of all, where do dudes even, do they even make that drug anymore? How can they make that? Like, how do you ask for that at the doctor? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I need a refill. Let's see. Yeah. Some, Lexapro, Wellbutrin, Propecia, roofies. You get any more? Can I get some more roofies? Yeah. Just like 20. Yeah. I'm out. It's only been 2 weeks. Yeah, I know. I'm going to Cancun, but it's just weird that they would even make that.
I know.
They can't. I was talking to my girlfriend. She was saying that there are precautions. Now, first of all, I think women are more cautious of it. And then bars look out for it more. I think they train people at bars. And there's code words, apparently, too, where you think someone's might be roofing your drink or have done that. You can say a word to the bartender where they can... They're aware of it.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Did you ever see remember that show, What Would You Do? It was like an undercover camera show.
I used to love that show.
And they had one where a guy would be on a date, and when the girl went to the bathroom, he put something in her drink in front of people, and like people would see it. And sometimes they would say something, but sometimes they wouldn't. I mean, it's crazy. Like, that's fucked up, man. Like,
well, all right. I'm going to take the side of the person who doesn't say anything. Okay. All right. Not defending.
Okay. Good. That's a good look.
Right. But if you, this is what I would think. If you see someone who's capable of doing that, you're probably like, well, what else is this person capable of? Do I want to fuck with this guy? This guy is about to drug this person. Should I just try to kick his ass? This guy might.
Well, you could go find the chick. You could warn the chick.
Okay. I guess a good one. Yeah.
That's like, or you could go when, you know, intercept her from the bathroom, or you could, you know, ask the guy who his doctor is. Dr. Roof. I mean, it's just kind of like, first of all, like everyone makes fun of Dahmer, like, oh my God, he kills people and has sex with them. But if you're a dude who's like doing that, you're basically doing the same thing. If you're just having sex with a chick passed out, is that enjoyable? I mean, I don't know how that would be. I guess some people are turned on by it, but it just seems
I got a little.
Would you rather just not have sex?
It's called, well, Cosby, you know, that was his thing.
I guess that is like a fetish or something.
I think it is. I really do.
Like a power thing, or just like it's so depraved. It's so like again, it's a thing where it's like it's not just enough to have sex with that you also have to be like doing something like so evil, and like you have to be like hurting them in a horror, like ruining their life.
Yeah, apparently, or Rohypnol, whatever it's called, it's illegal in this country. I did not know that. Now I'm going to Google roofie's prescription.
Vacation spots, roofie vacation.
Yeah.
Where should I go on my roofie vacation? Where is it? It's amazing that it's legal anywhere, but I mean,
some people use it as a sleeping pill, apparently.
I guess you could still do that.
I used to take Ambien. I think you could drop a couple of those into fun ones into someone's drink totally. And knock them the fuck out. No way. Yeah,
I do. But that is one of the most shocking thing watching the Dahmer thing is like that he just that's what he did just for years. And I mean, that's insane that he was able to like. And then there's one where like he meets a guy and he actually likes the guy and like they show how he likes the guy because like they show him he's actually not drugging him. Like he makes a choice to not drug him. Like, oh, wow, he really like found someone. But
yeah,
the
you're so
like,
not druggable. That would be a
yeah, exactly. Man. Like you're so like and then the guy is like, God, there's something about you. I can see that you're like a good soul. And all this, you know, he's like, the guy's like into Dahmer. And I'm like, really? Like, you just know red flags with Dahmer. I just feel like you would see, you know what I mean? When you meet someone like that's kind of creepy like that, I feel like you would see it a little bit.
Well, first of all, the glasses right there, you know, I mean, he wore those creepy glasses the whole time, right? Those are like the pedophile glasses.
But at the time, I don't know. Well, you know, and the other thing is like he was a white gay guy who was going to black gay bars primarily. Yeah. And I do think there was a thing where, you know, there was like a fetish probably for some black gay guys who were like, oh, I like white guys.
Yeah. And he was a good looking guy. I mean, he was.
He was a good look. He was. It's
just
funny.
Like the other guy was a Ted. Was it? Who's the other guy who was good looking and got
Ted
away
Bundy.
With Ted Bundy. Yeah.
It's funny when you see the good looking ones because they're the ones who do it the most, you know, who have the most victims because they're the ones who it's like they actually have game on top of it. Yeah. So they're able to go out because the other guys like Son of Sam, they have no game. So they just have to like Son of Sam couldn't meet people at a bar and bring them home. He just had to like shoot people in their cars. That was all he had. But the other guys are even like Ted Bundy and Dahmer because they really would go out and were able to like lure people back. I don't know. That's it just shows you what you could get away with.
Yeah.
Back. What was it like back in like the 1700s? Were you just able to just murder anyone you met like ever?
Well, if you think about it, they said that, you know, Jack the Ripper, who they always have theories of who he was, that was in the late 1800s. They would have caught him. They were, I think, 5 years away from fingerprint technology. But they had that, they had a lot of good suspects, they would have definitely had him. So that's yeah, amazing. Before
there was
then
a time, there was a time with just no fingerprints. What did they do back then? They're like, someone was murdered in the street. We have no, you could murder someone in your apartment and they'd be like, yeah, I don't know who did it. Well, he said he didn't do it. So we found him in front of his door.
Yeah. I mean, basically, back in the day, not killing somebody was basically like just the honor system, you know, or morality, really. They would say if you kill someone, you're going to go to hell.
I think it's kind of like how they used to have a thing where I remember when I was really little, I was in Texas and I saw like, remember they had those new newspaper machines?
Yeah.
You open it and get a newspaper and like you would have you. And I remember I just like opened it because it was I was young and I was like, what is this? And I opened it because it was just open.
Yeah.
And I just like was like taking a paper and my mom or someone was like, you can't do you have to pay. And I'm like, but I don't. They just it's open. And they're like, yeah, but you have to pay the thing. And I was so I think to imagine that there was a time with stuff like that where you just had you could like. There was an honor system of paying for the paper, or right. Even when you had to pay, you could take as many as you wanted. And it was
right.
Another.
Well, but that one I understood because like you could, I guess, take them and sell them. But like that's a lot of work, or just take a bunch of newspapers. Who the fuck needs a bunch of newspapers even back then, you know?
It's just funny how eventually humans catch on like, oh, you just can't trust anyone to do anything ever because they're always going to be horrible.
Do you remember like the end of newspapers, like? I remember I would get newspapers delivered to my house, but I would just be reading like the Times and I'd be just reading them online. And then it got to a point where I just would not even open the newspapers they would deliver, you know, and you're like, you had like piles of them and you're like, I think I just don't need to get this anymore.
Do they, yeah. Do people even get their paper delivered anymore? When did that stop? Like the mid aughts?
I don't know. But all I know is the other day I was in a deli and I saw the prices of newspapers. I'm like, oh my God.
What is it?
Like Daily News was like $3.
Oh my God. Was that for like the Sunday one?
No, that was a daily, I think.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. And it was like 7 pages.
Wow, that's fucking crazy. Yeah. But So the Dahmer thing was that, and then so I watched Blonde last night. That's the Marilyn Monroe movie.
Right. And there's some controversy with that, right?
Yeah. What if you're because they're like, oh, they're treating her really badly in the movie. They're just kind of humiliating her, and she had a really horrible life, and they're just kind of again like exploiting it.
I thought there was some sex scenes that people are getting off on or something like that.
Well, I guess there's like a couple of rape scenes, like there's one where the head of a studio, I think like Paramount or something, like rapes her in the office. And then
that's another thing that happened all the time back then.
Right. And then JFK like kind of rapes her. That's kind of the big thing.
Ooh, really?
Borderline kind of rapes her. And then I don't know how true. And then there's this thing where like, she's friends with Charlie Chaplin's son and then Edward G. Robinson's son, and they have like three ways all the time, but I don't know.
Edward G. Robinson?
I think so, yeah. Someone like that.
Yeah, and then, have a threesome, she?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, and then at the beginning they show like the one of the main things is which always seems to be the root of a lot of these stories, showbiz especially. It's like the dad abandons them. And so their whole life, they're like searching for the father figure.
Okay.
And the mom is crazy. So the mom is like taken to like a mental, like tries to kill her really young. And like, but it is funny because I feel like those are the people that always like excel in showbiz, the ones whose just parents are like so horrible.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, well, I guess...
Is that just a movie?
The whole, like, or is it true, you mean?
No, is it a movie or is it a series?
It's a movie. It's like, it's long. It's like almost 3 hours. And
she died at like 36, I think, years old, right?
36, yeah. And she, I didn't realize she was in a lot of movies. And I think she was like a pretty good actress. And
they say that she was trained in the, I think.
Lee Strasberg.
Yeah.
And I think she like wanted to be, she like, cause she was doing movies and she was just like this sex symbol and she wanted to actually be a good, like be able to do Broadway. And that's how she meets Arthur Miller. It is amazing that Arthur Miller marries her.
So did Joe DiMaggio, right?
I know, but that one like seems to make a little more sense cause he's just kind of like this huge baseball player star. He's really into being a star. I feel like Arthur Miller, I think was famous and respected, but I don't think he was like a guy who was like, I want to marry like a starlet and get a lot of attention. He just kind of, I mean, I don't know. First of all, Adrian Brody plays Arthur Miller. Really? And he's like good, actually. They make him look like Arthur Miller. He's kind of like a good choice.
Having a little Brody sense, I think.
He is. He's like in everything. Now. Yeah. He's kind of like, it's that thing where like, I guess he was going to be a leading man and then that didn't pan out. But now he's like kind of, just showing up in a lot of like supporting parts, which are in like good thing. But, and the chick in it is really good. Anna de Armas, you know who that is?
No, but she looks like her.
She does. She looks, but she's like Cuban, but you know, she has dark hair, but they dyed her hair. She looks like exactly like her. She's really super hot.
I can imagine. Yeah.
And, it's just like a bummer of a story. Every scene is like just something horrible is happening to her. And you kind of look at it and you're like, oh, you would think she had this charmed, great life, but it seemed like everyone like treated her like shit. Like no one respected her.
Yeah. And especially in the movie business back then, women were, it's not easy.
Not like now where they're just nonstop respect. But it's weird. Yeah. Like, I guess JFK probably like did stuff like that. You know what I mean? Just kind of.
So who'd play JFK? Was he like, raw, I need you to bend over now?
No, he like, he doesn't really, it's kind of a short thing. He's just like laying, it's like weird. Like they bring her to him and then like he's just while laying down.
Is this while he's president?
Yeah. And then he's just kind of laying down in his hotel room on the phone and he's basically like wants her to like jerk him off while he's on the phone and then basically like makes her like blow. It's kind of like the Aziz Ansari story. He kind of is like pushing her to blow him. And then it's just kind of like, this isn't like she's that into it. But he's just, he's like a shithead about it. It seems like not 100% consensual. It's kind of showing like, oh, this is horrible. Like this wasn't some like affair that was like glamorous.
Did they play? Did they play this?
Disgusting.
Did they play this?
To you, happy birthday, Mr. President.
You know, that's not in there.
Oh yeah, but that was always the funniest thing. Like, she does this, and like, I think maybe Jackie was there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Jackie's like right there.
Sexy fucking version of happy birthday serenading him, like, you know.
Yeah, and I guess like a lot of the Kennedys were obsessed with her, like, yeah, Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah.
I was surprised they didn't reenact that moment. Because that's such an iconic moment, but yeah. It's just kind of like, it seems very like tagged on. It's like 2 hours into the movie, and they're like, and then JFK like was like really sexually aggressive with her, and then.
Well, I think the thing is they've made a lot of Marilyn movies over the years. Some of them have focused specifically on that, so maybe they were just trying to focus more on her life and everything like that.
Also, I didn't realize this. It's like she gets like abortions a lot, and it's almost like the studio forces it or something. They kind of imply that that she can't be pregnant, and that's like a running theme. You know, I mean, it's really sad if it's probably true. I feel like a lot of these times it comes down to like, you know, these people who like are driven to do these things. And do these great things. They're just trying to get their dad to like call them. You know what I mean? It's just like she's just kind of, she doesn't know where her dad is or who he is, and it's just that's kind of how they frame it. That she's just so obsessed with she gets no love from her dad or something. But yeah, it's pretty funny.
I mean, that's
what?
But that's the Elton John song is about her. It's really
we didn't start the fire. Rocket Man, was that about
what song?
Yeah, the song Goodbye Norma Jean or yeah. Candle in the Wind.
Yeah, because they were like, he's like, I guess he's talking about how a hard life she had.
To say, well, the Marilyn was found in the news. Seems to me you live your life like a candle in.
All right, that's it.
I think she's a, you know, watching it and all, you know, I've always been aware of her, obviously, because she's such an icon, but I never have paid, like, I'm not, it always was amazing to me that people were so obsessed with her, because I thought she was hot and everything, but I wasn't like, oh my God, like,
I think she was hot, but they, you know, in the 50s, a lot of the women look like that. They would all make them look like that. These bleached blondes with big.
Yeah. She definitely was like the best one of all of them.
The most famous, but there was a bunch of others that they, if you look through them, I can't even think of the names of them. They're kind of famous, but like, that's what they like. This was the in the 1950s, what a man thought, a white man thought.
Yeah,
a hot
yeah.
Woman would look
well,
like,
I mean, yeah. she definitely, you know, it's still pretty.
Right, right.
It's pretty universal. It's not like we're like, ew, that this hot blonde. I mean, one thing watching it that it was kind of, it made me realize like, oh, she, you know, I always just assumed she had this charmed life that, you know, but,
oh no,
you know, she really. And it's kind of interesting because I do think this happens a lot. I got the feeling that she did have a really hard life, and she was sort of innocent in a way and just wanted people to like her. And a lot of people took advantage of it and didn't, you know, and I think this happens to people that like people admire a lot, where they're like really mean to them because they're kind of like, oh, she thinks she's so great. You have to like treat her like shit because I'm not going to like treat her well. But it's weird to see someone who like seems like she had everything and should have been treated so well being treated horribly by everybody. Yeah. And you're kind of like, why couldn't she just meet a dude who was like cool to her? You know what I mean? But at the same time, I think like someone like that couldn't be with someone who treated them well. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And also you're famous, so you always kind of want to be with other famous people. You know, she might have been better off being with someone who wasn't in a way, but it's hard.
I feel like if she had lived another, if she had gotten to like 42, she had been, you know, I feel like once you get to a certain age, if you go through stuff like that, you get to a certain age, like you start letting go of that kind of stuff. You start being less concerned about stuff. You know. Like I heard some quote someone said about Amy Winehouse because she died at 27. She was so troubled, and they were like, "I think she died like before she learned how to like live and be a person in the world." And like, because you're so young at that point, you're not really ready to deal with it,
right?
Because you're just kind of a mess at that age anyway. You don't know what's going on, but when it's all thrown at you, if you're not ready for it, so I think it's like if she had lived a little longer, maybe she would have like realized, like, oh, because that happens a lot to chicks, like especially like really hot chicks, like they'll be with these horrible dudes young, and then they get to like 40 and they're like, you know what? I'm done with that. Right. I just want to be with a dude who like has money and he's just going to like treat me nice. And that's it.
Oh,
like,
he's not a bad boy.
Exactly. Like, I feel like usually they get over it and they finally start realizing like this isn't. And I mean, I've had it. Guys have it too, where you're like, I'm not going to go after like the hot chick anymore. Cause they're horror. They're a nightmare. And not that like, but you know what I mean? Like just, you're not going to go after a girl just because like she's hot anymore. It can't just be, oh my God, they're hot. It has to be like, all right, I'm attracted to them and I think they're hot, but they can't be crazy. You know? Do you know what I mean? You probably had that. Like, once you've been fucked over by a few, you're like, all right, like this isn't. They have to be normal, and I have to be able to be around them. Because you see that a lot where dudes are like, she's so hot. And I'm like, but she's horrible. Like, why do you want to be around her? She hates you.
Well, we'll do one more story. Talk about hot. Okay. She's hot. She's hot, literally. I always think she was beautiful. And then she's directed this. And she's a good director. Olivia Wilde, that movie that has a lot of controversy, right? Because she is hooking up with, is Harry Styles in the movie? Yeah. By the way, I live across the street from this newsstand that's almost kind of, or the bodega, whatever it is. And it's kind of famous because it still sells tons of magazines, tons, tons, tons. People come down there. I would say at least 30 for 40% of the magazines has Harry Styles on the cover. So I didn't
realize he was so, because I saw it on Friday opening night and it was packed with like 20-something girls, and they were laughing at not funny parts of the movie. And I think it was because he's like a 50s guy. He's kind of dorky. And I think they were like laughing at him, kind of like, oh, he looks so weird. But I didn't know he was such a huge phenomenon.
Huge. And you know that from the magazines, I think, because magazines don't really sell anymore. So if they just put anything on there that will make people buy it. And if he's on like half the covers, you're like, what? This guy must be the shit, you know?
Have you seen the movie?
No.
So I saw it and it got kind of panned, and I've been hearing the controversy, which it's just so stupid.
What's the name of the movie again?
Don't Worry, Darling.
Okay.
And, you know, the stories I see are like, Olivia Wilde, you know, yelled at Florence Pugh. Florence Pugh's like the lead chick. Mm-hmm. And Olivia Wilde is the director. And she's like, they had a screaming match on the set. And I'm like, okay, so what? Like, I guess they got mad on the set at each other. Why is this like, I feel like that happens all the time on things. Why is this like the biggest news story in the world? Like, and people are like, it's such shit. It's not even good. And, you know, Olivia Wilde was just this hot actress. I mean, she was just an actress. I mean, whatever. I'm not.
Yeah,
like,
this movie got 36%. So I guess, it got trashed.
But I watched the movie and I'm like, it's, you know, it looks good. It's well made. I don't know. It's like Olivia Wilde is this young just actress who's making movies. Why is everyone like, oh, God, it's shit? Like they're acting like, and she yelled at someone. And it's like, I don't know. It doesn't seem. I can't tell if they're behind the story or they're trumping it up just because it's getting so much attention. But I will say it made a lot of money, and I don't think people thought it was going to make money.
No, but I mean, her last movie, I know she did that Booksmart movie, which I actually liked. But yeah, this movie didn't get the reviews. I mean, she is like really pretty. She's like in her late 30s now. But I remember when I first saw her. You know what? When did you first see her? I saw her on the show called House. Remember House?
Yeah, with Hugh Laurie.
Yeah, and she would be
was
like
she one of the main people on it?
Yeah, she was one of the doctors. Like sitting there, like they're like, I'm like, this is not realistic. Like if you were working in a hospital and you're like, how should we treat this guy? How should we? And they're talking. Like I'd just be sitting there, like I can't really just talk to you.
Right, right.
She's like 22.
She's like the doctor in like a you see in a porn movie.
She's like smoking. And you know, the house actually, yeah, he's not getting a boner right there. Come on. I mean, you know.
Yeah, like in this movie, Florence Pugh, do you know who that is? She's this young, hot actress. I think she's like 25.
Yeah.
And in the movie, she's a doctor at one point. Like a surgeon. And she comes home and she's like, God, I'm so tired. I had all these surgeries. And I turn to my girlfriend. I go, isn't she like 24? What are they talking about? He's a fucking surgeon? Like, you can't do that in like... From like she went to medical school for 2 years. Like, there's no way this is like.
Did that annoy you? I bet that annoyed you most the movie.
I mean, and the movie has like, you know, very like ridiculous elements that are very like far fetched. Right. I just thought it was stupid. There was another big thing that annoyed me about it. There's things about the ending that you're like, when you kind of start unpacking it, you're like, this doesn't make any sense. All right. The ending felt very like lazy. It felt very like it's a great buildup for like an hour and 20 minutes. And you're kind of, I remember watching it and be like, wow, this is really good. I don't know what's going. It was weird too, because I'd heard so much about the controversy. And while I'm watching, I'm like, it's weird. I have no idea what this movie's about. That I've never had that in a long time where I go to a movie and I don't know what it's about. And it is like a mystery that's like unravels. And yeah, I think I told you, I was like, go ahead.
No, I kind of felt that like I liked the movie, that Vengeance movie with BJ Novak. I liked that movie, but I thought the end was a little like,
Yeah, the ending was okay. It was good.
Better. It was more realistic than whatever this movie is. So.
Yeah, yeah. That surprised me. I thought that was actually a good movie.
Where did you see this movie?
This movie I saw in the theater. Like,
no, I know where though. Kips Bay?
Like 19th Street and Broadway.
Okay. Is that Kips Bay theater still open?
Yeah, that's there. I go there. So I have that AMC pass where you can see three movies a week. But dude, it's like insane. It's, you know, it's $20 a month and you can see one movie's like $18. So and they also have, you get rewards where you get free food if you go there. So like, I'll go there and like I took my girlfriend there for a date and like I paid for her ticket and then I went to get popcorn and stuff and it was like free. So I basically spent like $18. Like,
wow.
I had to buy like one ticket and that was like a night out.
You shouldn't say that. Did you say that you paid full price for the food?
No, she was right there because like she was like, oh, I'll get this. And then she was and I go, oh, I have this rewards thing. And then they were like, that'll be 50 cents. And I was like, all right.
What is this, 1953?
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't, you know, like that movie, I thought it was fine. I think like movies in general are just sort of disappointing. And I felt like it was good for like an hour and 20 minutes. And then it just sort of and it was kind of an ending where you're like, can you think of a movie where an ending you were just like, oh, really? That's the end?
Yeah.
Like, can you think of one? I mean, Sixth Sense, at least at the time, was like...
No, that was a good ending.
It was, and it was new. It hadn't really been done.
Yeah, I mean, there's been others where they would have these twists. I can't really think of them. They would try to...
Did you see Vanilla Sky?
That was a weird fucking movie. What was the twist on that one? Or the end?
It was that he was so heartbroken that he, cause you know, he gets in an accident and Penelope Cruz leaves him. And then he like puts himself in this simulation so that he can be with her, even though it's not real. It's like they freeze him.
Okay.
So that, and he's like in a simulation and he realizes he doesn't know. And he realizes that he's in a simulation that with her, that's not real. And that was sort of one of those, a little bit of a cop-out ending where you're like, wait, what? So it's a dream? Like, okay. I feel like it's just kind of like when they do the, not that this is a dream, but I mean.
Yeah. Don't tell me, but I don't really want to.
But yeah, I think this was an example where the controversy oddly ended up helping. I think for like an opening weekend. Because do you remember back in the day when like before the internet and stuff, like when a movie came out, it would have like a weekend for it to for people to the way you found out it was bad was like Monday at school. People would be like, it's bad. So that's how, so they knew they had a window of like three nights of like, okay, we got to make our money this weekend before everyone, but now it gets out like immediately that it sucks.
You know, I'm just looking up something right now about the movies with the worst endings. I think I remember this one, Secret Window. This is one of them that's up there. Do you remember that movie with Johnny Depp?
Yeah, with Johnny Depp. That's a bad, that's what one that it was like. Yeah.
In the end, it turns out that he's not.
It's him.
It's him. John doesn't exist more. Oh, okay. Oh, I see. All right. Oh, Lucy's on there. I never even saw that one.
I never saw that either. Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah. Dark Knight Rises. I don't remember the ending of that one. I'm just trying to find one that's the Indiana Jones last one. But that,
yeah, that one was shit.
That movie sucked.
That just ruined the whole. I mean, it was good, and then because I remember seeing people were like, "It's so bad." It's weird too how like a bad ending can ruin a whole movie. Because a movie can be good if it ends bad. It's like comedy. If you have a whole good set and you end shitty, everyone's like, "Ah, he sucked."
Yeah. They pointing to the Superman movie with Christopher Reeve. That was not the best ending, where he just, they didn't know what to do. She dies, so he turns the time around. Right? He goes into. Yeah.
He goes, he flies really fast or something.
Yeah. Oh, M. Night Shyamalan, A Ding Dong, The Village. That was,
yeah.
That's
people
where
got mad at that one.
What was the twist again? That it was, they were, it was real. They just were present day America. They were just,
yeah. You think that they're in like the late 1800s and it's present day. And they've decided to live in this town where it's, to get away from the, you know, horrificness of modern society. Everyone hated that movie. I didn't mind it. I thought it was okay. And I was so mad I didn't figure out the twist. I was like so pissed.
That's like a Twilight Zone episode. I mean, it could have been a Twilight Zone episode, really.
Or that's Black, the problem Black with Earth. This movie. With Don't Worry, it feels like a long Twilight Zone. You're right. Like, okay, yeah. All right, that's it. And it sucks because it's like, it seems like a good, really good movie, like beyond that at the beginning. It looks really good. And also one thing that's annoying, you probably, if you read about it, they're trying to make a commentary about male, like how males feel in society now, how they feel marginalized and where they fit in.
Okay.
As opposed to like back in the day where men kind of were the, you know, the breadwinners and the, you know, and they were the ones that kind of like brought home, you know, who supported the family, which is such a funny thing that like there's a thing now where men are like, I hate this shit. Like, it used to be like, men, you know, women didn't get jobs and we had to go out and we earned a living and we weren't marginalized. And I'm like, dude, this is fine with me. Like, if she wants to go work and bring money in, I'm fine with just staying at home. Like, I don't like, that seems like a life hack to me. Like, kind of like, well, how can I get this? Not that I don't want to work, but I mean, I don't want to be the one doing everything. Like, what is that bullshit? That's like, why would you even want that?
No, I know, it's too much pressure, man.
I want like a woman who has money and like goes out and does stuff. My girlfriend, like, I think she, you know, when she works, she makes really good money. And I'm like, cool. I'll take you to the movie with the free popcorn.
she was going to buy it for you, too.
Well, I'd already bought the one ticket. So,
okay, you're a sport. Only you could go out in New York City and spend $18. You take someone out in New York City. I mean, like, you can't even think about, you couldn't even get a dinner. Like, if you get a dinner, I've had it done. I know a couple of places where you can do it, where you can get a dinner, you know, the two-person dinner for under $50 with everything.
Yeah.
Exceptionally rare.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. If you're going to go out, you're going to probably spend at least $70, $80 on that, which is whatever. It's fine. But like, and this wasn't like, but I definitely had a thing when I was single and I was dating chicks a lot of times early on. I'd be like, oh, let's go see him. I never was like, dinner was very like, if we're dating, I'll take you to dinner. We're not going to dinner. That's why I see these dudes who just don't know how to date. I mean, I don't who or and you know, they'll meet a chick on an app and they're like, let's meet for dinner. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No, I've literally talked to some women comics who are like, yeah, sometimes I'll just go on dates for the dinners. You know what? And that's not on them. That's on the dudes that fucking do that, you know?
I mean, you know? It's just so dumb because you don't want to sit through a dinner with someone you don't know. I mean, that's like a long
and that's
eating dinners like
it's long. Plus, it's an investment. You don't know this person. You know, coffee is one thing or whatever. I'm talking about like a first date, you know?
I mean, I know. It was like a drink. I was always like, let's get a drink. And then in one drink, if you hated them, you're like, I got to go. But
I remember years back when I was doing some dating and like I would always make a point to like date it. Go on dates at certain times, like after dinner and stuff like that, you know. You don't want to do a sick. And then I would find places that didn't seem to have food, you know, like it'd be like a it'd be like a coffee place, and then all of a sudden you're looking at the menu and like, oh look, they got food here. Like, ah,
and now I always hated any date early on where they would try and incorporate food in early on. Oh, they have food. And I'm like, food just seems like too much of like it's like taking it to another level somehow. Yeah. But I definitely have had, I remember I dated a girl and like, she was just obsessed with eating all the time. Like she couldn't not eat, but she just was obsessed with like, where are we going to eat? And like a lot of times I'd just be like all the time. And I'd be like, I don't know. I'm going to be doing something later. So like, I'm just going to get something, you know, like just get something. And she'd be like, well, what do you mean you're going to get something? And I'm like, can we just eat like on our own for a couple of days? Like, I don't, why are
eating's
we
big for a lot of women? A lot of women.
You know what I mean? It's like every night we had to like have an eating plan. And I was like, this is bull. I'm not going to be able to do this. Like, just go eat on your own. I'm not your fucking. We would wake up and she'd be like, let's get something to eat. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Who are you dating? Lizzo? Was that your girlfriend? No, I shouldn't say that. Lizzo is beautiful.
It was when I was dating. I don't even know.
But Lizzo is beautiful. I have to just say is beautiful.
It was when I was dating Slimer from Ghostbusters. Wasn't Slimer always like eating when they showed him? It was when I was dating Chris Farley and
well, you can see, I know Lizzo this week, someone was ripping on her a little bit. She was playing the flute or something, and I think people were just making fun of her weight. And now everyone's got to go, no, you can't. Body positivity. This is with the way every woman should look. You know, every woman should be 300 pounds. That's the way. It's perfect. You can't say shit anymore.
Yeah, but you can still say it if it's like a fat guy, someone who's really ugly. Like,
not really, though. Because I know fat comics who have a hard time now doing fat jokes. They can't even do them on stage. And they're self-deprecating.
Like, they can't make fun of themselves being fat?
Yeah, because the crowd will go, aw. Because you got these Gen Zs in the crowd who are like, or young millennials who are like, they used to be self-deprecating was like, I'm not, that's easy. I'm making fun of myself. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not punching down. I'm not but they see it as like, why would you make fun of yourself? Everyone is so great. You know, like a Gen Zer really has grown up to believe that they're fucking awesome and everyone should feel awesome about themselves. And there's no reason to be self-deprecating. So they take away the self-deprecating. There's not a lot of humor left.
I was watching 48 Hours the other night and it's like, you just couldn't do that movie now because it's just like, you know, Nick Nolte's insulting him all the time, kind of making fun of him being black. And he's making fun of Nick Nolte for being, you know, there's a whole part where he goes into the redneck bar and he's shitting on them being white. And it's like, I don't know, you know, some cops are racist and some people are racist. And, you know, you can, you know, it can be funny, you know, kind of, you know, them making fun of each other. It's just such an odd. Now you couldn't have a cop be mean to someone. You know what I mean? And he's not even like that right in the movie. Like they kind of make a point of him. Treating him shitty because he's a convict.
Right. And he likes him at the end. He like respects him.
Yeah. Like he likes him. Yeah. But like you'd have to have the movie now. Like, oh, I like him already. Cause, so I was watching. I'm like, oh, you could never. because there's people in the movie who say racist things, and you're like, it's now with movies and stuff, it's like no one can be racist. No one's racist anymore in the world. Like, oh, okay, so no one in movies can be racist.
Yeah, except in real life, everyone's racist there. All right, we should wrap it up.
All right, let's wrap it up. All right, well, I think we covered all the topics.
Yeah.
Don't worry, darling. Blonde and Dahmer.
And we did an hour on Hurricane. Was it
Ian?
Ian.
Yeah, that's a pretty. Isn't it like a horrible hurricane? Why are they naming it like the most wussy name of all time?
It's luck of the draw. All right, we'll wrap this
okay,
up.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review, subscribe, and join our Patreon, and we'll be back soon.